All right. So welcome. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy they answered, you know, because otherwise I might have had to hang up. So I really got kind of lucky that they answered the phone 5 minutes before I was supposed to take the mic. But we are here now for the guiding lights. And what we are doing is reading from NTI 1 Corinthians. And today we are going to be starting chapter 5. So let me just turn over to that. Kind of not prepared because I was on the phone. All right, NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Even though we're starting a little bit late, I still feel like I want to start with a song because I really use the songs to, you know, it's kind of like a prayer for me. It's just that opportunity to get quiet and to get ready. So the song that has jumped out at me is a Beatles song. It's one of my favorites. It's called The Fool on the Hill. So why don't we listen to this and then we'll go ahead and get started with chapter 5.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down. And the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. But nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make.
Listening to that song, you know, it kind of hit me since we're talking about the empty shell in NTI 1 Corinthians. It kind of hit me that the fool on the hill, the one that everyone else thinks is the fool on the hill, that's the empty shell. And of course, it says that he actually knows that everyone else is the fool, and that's because they're listening to the thinking mind, the judging mind, right? But yeah, the fool on the hill would be the equivalent of the empty shell. And so we're going to begin today with NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5 at the top of page 292. Jesus told you that if your hand leads you to sin, cut off your hand. And if your eye leads you to sin, cut out your eye. This is what he meant by that. Within your mind, there are many thoughts. As long as you seem to be within illusion, there will be thoughts, because illusion is thought. But within the world of illusion, there are thoughts that lead you to put belief in illusion, and thoughts that lead you to let go of these beliefs. The thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion are ego thoughts. They are the thoughts that are based on the judgment that what is... Hold on, let me make sure it's not them calling back. It is not. All right. So, the thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion are ego thoughts. They are the thoughts that are based on the judgment that what is was made different, and so what is different is what is real. The thoughts that lead you from illusion are the Holy Spirit's thoughts. They are based on knowledge that reality cannot be changed. They call you to lay down fantasy and to again acknowledge what has always been true. You are asked to realize that both systems of thought are in your mind now, and you are asked to remember that you want to know the truth. Therefore, lay down the thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion. They are not useful to your purpose. They are not helpful to you now. So I felt like reading that whole thing, because the whole thing is the explanation of the first paragraph. So let's jump back up to the first paragraph now. The first paragraph on page 292 said, Jesus told you that if your hand leads you to sin, cut off your hand. And if your eye leads you to sin, cut out your eye. And so what NTI is saying, and that of course is not literal. One reason it's not literal is your hand never leads you to sin and your eye never leads you to sin. And remember again that sin is just a mistake, right? But what leads you to sin is your thoughts. Your thoughts that believe in the world. Your thoughts that believe in the world. And, you know, let's look at that word sin for a moment, because there's a traditional way of looking at that word, which we're all familiar with, but there's a non-traditional way of looking at that word, which is very, very helpful and I'd like to talk about. First, let's talk about the traditional way of looking at the word sin, just to make sure we're all on the same page. And, you know, a sin is something that is judged bad by the world. And in fact, sins can then vary by culture. You know, what is a sin to one may not be a sin to another. A sin is basically something that we judge bad. You know, we judge it as bad, therefore it is a sin. As you all know, I believe, at least this is what I've been told, and I think many of y'all have been told the same thing, that the word sin actually is an archery term, and it means mistake. But a mistake is not necessarily something that we judge bad. What's really interesting about a mistake is a mistake could also be something that we commonly in our culture would judge as good. You know, for example, or neutral. Maybe we even define it as neutral. Maybe we even define it as natural. You know, like worrying about the economy at certain times, you know, when the economy seems to be going in the direction that, you know, people are losing jobs and losing homes and that kind of thing. To worry about the economy seems natural, right? Natural in the world. People would not accuse you of sinning. If you said that you were worried about the economy, they would say, oh, me too, right? And they would jump right in during those times. But based on the way that the Holy Spirit is teaching right here in, NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5, worrying about the economy would be an example of a sin. Not something you're guilty of, but a mistake. Something that points away from truth. What the Holy Spirit is saying here is that there are two thought systems in our mind, and y'all are very familiar with this teaching because this is also the teaching of A Course in Miracles. There are two thought systems in our mind. One of those thought systems points toward illusion as truth. It points toward illusion as truth. And the other thought system points away from illusion toward actual truth. And whenever we believe any thought that points toward illusion as truth, that's a mistake. And here the word mistake and sin are synonymous. So that would be a sin. Again, not that you're guilty. We have to get rid of that traditional idea that there's guilt in sin. Not that you're guilty, but you're deluded. You're deluded. And so what's happening here in NTI, it's starting with something that comes from the Bible. Jesus told you that if your hand leads you to sin, cut off your hand. And if your eye leads you to sin, cut out your eye. This is what is meant by that. And then it goes into a four-paragraph discussion about these two thought systems. And what it's really asking us to do is to drop, lose interest in, stop believing the thought system that points toward illusion as if it's the truth. That's the equivalent of cutting off the hand or cutting out the eye that would lead us to sin. We drop the thought system that is leading us to believe that illusion is reality. Jesus told you that if your hand leads you to sin, cut off your hand. And if your eye leads you to sin, cut out your eye. This is what he meant by that. Within your mind, there are many thoughts. As long as you seem to be within illusion, there will be thoughts. Because illusion is thought. Now that's a very interesting sentence right there. And that's actually, you know, there are certain sentences from A Course in Miracles, from NTI, from Ramana Maharshi, from Nisargadatta Maharaj, from Michael Langford, that stick with me, like come up in my mind a lot, right? Sort of as guidance. And this sentence that we just read is one of those sentences. As long as you seem to be with an illusion, there will be thoughts, because illusion is thought. What that sentence means to me is that any type of thought at all, whether it's what we would call right-minded thought or what we would call wrong-minded thought, any type of thought at all is illusion. But this world is an illusion. It's almost like we're within a game, right? We're within a game world. We're in a game. And when you're in the game, to some degree, you play by the rules of the game. For example, every body that I know, I've been told there are bodies that don't do this, but every body that I know eats, drinks, goes to the bathroom, washes, right? Washes the body, dresses the body. Everybody that I know, in some way, has some type of a way of taking care of the body. Like there's a house, there may be a family unit, a doctor, which is what I was just on the phone about, you know, getting the new doctor. There's these rules of the game that we play by when we're in the game, even if we're not fully invested in believing in it. Even, you know, we can take it in stride as things shift and change because we're not fully invested in believing in it. We can play the game as a game because we're not fully invested in believing in it. But we're still here in the game, and therefore, to some degree, we are playing the game, maybe in a detached manner, but we're playing the game. And this is all thought. This is all thought. Sometimes I think when we talk about, letting go of the mind or letting go of thought, I think that the idea enters into the mind that there should not be any thinking at all. And that's just not going to happen as long as we're still playing the game of being in a body, being in a world. You know, there's always some degree of thought. This morning, another thing that I did was I was working on pay. I had to figure out the new pay for each of our employees for this year because, you know, the tax tables all change with the beginning of the new year. So I had to figure out the new pay for everyone for 2017. You know, that requires some thinking, right? Some thinking. You just can't be in this game without thought. So what this sentence is telling us is that as long as we seem to be within illusion, there will be thoughts. Because illusion is thought. But then the next sentence begins with a but. But. Within the world of illusion, there are thoughts that lead you to put belief in illusion and thoughts that lead you to let go of these beliefs. So, you know, we can accept that as long as we seem to be in a body, in a world, thought is a part of what's going to happen here. It just is. But what this is saying is we need to look at those thoughts. Even though we can accept thought is something that is going to happen, we don't blindly, and you all know this already, we don't blindly believe every thought that comes into our mind. We're in a game of thought, but we need to practice discernment with the thoughts that are given. And thoughts are given. Right? We think we think, but we don't. We don't think. Thoughts arise. Thoughts are given. You could say they're given to us by our wholeness. We could use the term game maker. If we're going to call this a game, the thoughts are given to us by the game maker. But we are not just the person. If we were just the person, we would be at the mercy of the game maker. And whatever thoughts came into the mind, we would have to play like a puppet, play the game the way the game is being dealt to us. But we are not just the person, right? We are also the game maker. And we are also the wisdom that is completely beyond the game. We're like all of this at once. You know, you can't separate out the person, the game maker, and the one that is beyond both the person and the game maker. We're all of that at once. And so because we're all of that at once, we do have free will. You could call the game, at least in this moment, you could call the game to a certain degree destiny. Like I said, you don't think. Right? The thoughts are provided. You could call that destiny. That's a name for that. The thoughts are provided. But since you aren't just the person, you have the ability to look at those thoughts and decide whether you want to play the game that way or not. Because in reality, you're beyond the game. Right? In reality, you're beyond the game. So what this is telling us, again, is that as long as we appear to be in a body, in a world, there's going to be thought. But there are two types of thoughts. There are thoughts that lead us to believe this world is reality. And there are thoughts that are leading us to let go of the belief that the world is reality. Or, you know, we can even transcend that to where there's just knowledge that the world is not reality. And what we have then is an option for how we want to play the game then. Right? We don't have to play the game just based on the script that's being given to us. We have an option on how we want to play this game for as long as we appear to be here playing. So that takes us to the next paragraph. The thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion are ego thoughts. They are the thoughts that are based on the judgment that what is was made different, and so what is different is what is real. And what is would be the changeless. And what's different would be the changing, right? Do you all agree that changing is different than changeless? Now, what's really interesting, of course, is that everything that appears to be changing is made of the changeless. Its essence is the changeless. So changeless is all that's really happening, if anything could be said to be happening at all. Some would say that means nothing's happening. But changeless is all that is really happening. And when we're aware of changeless as true nature, even though there's the appearance of lots of things happening, sometimes things according to the mind going right, sometimes things according to the mind going wrong, when we're aware of changelessness as true nature, we are able to just be with all of that. You know, we still can play our part in the game. Like I can still, you know, call and call the insurance company and sit on hold for 2 hours and, you know, decide to take the call when they finally answer, just as I'm supposed to go into Pal Talk, you know, and change the doctor. I can still choose to do that. But without the upset that might be there if I thought the world was real, if I thought, you know, my time was being wasted, if I thought my reputation with you guys because I wasn't here right on time was somehow at risk. You know, when I'm believing in the world, there's going to be an element of stress. It's something as relaxing as sitting on hold for 2 hours. I mean, if you think about it, you know, most people immediately when you say I was on hold for 2 hours, the thought is, you know, kind of like a negative thought, like, oh, that's terrible in some way. And yeah, actually being on hold, and I was on speakerphone, being on hold for 2 hours is not a real big deal because you just set the phone there and you know, you go on with what you're going to do. Now, I did change my plans a little bit. I would have taken a shower, and I did not get in the shower, so that still has to be done. So plans were kind of rearranged a little bit. But it's not really a big deal. You know, it's just not a big deal. What makes it a big deal is listening to the ego. What makes it a big deal is that self-importance, my time is being wasted, and oh no, I'm supposed to be in Pal Talk in 10 minutes, what am I going to do? And, you know, all of that other stuff. All of that other stuff. And so that's believing in the changing as if it's reality. When we realize the changelessness is reality, we can be with the changing without the stress or the fear or the guilt or the unworthiness or the jealousy or any of that other stuff that comes when we believe that the changing is real. So again, this first paragraph is saying that the ego thoughts are the ones that believe the changing is real, the changing world is real, the changing environment is real, the changing me, the changing body is real. This is what causes people to get upset, for example, when the body is aging or when the body is sick, right? Because they think the changing body is real and now I'm getting old or I'm sick, you know, I have cancer, right? Believing the changing is real is the ego, and that's what causes suffering. The next paragraph, the thoughts that lead you from illusion are the Holy Spirit's thoughts. They are based on knowledge that reality cannot be changed. They call you to lay down fantasy and to again acknowledge what has always been true. So if you think about, you know, it says this says reality cannot be changed, but if you think about it, the word changeless is synonymous with reality, right? So changeless cannot be changed. That makes perfect sense. Changeless cannot be changed, right? Changelessness cannot be changed. And so the Holy Spirit's thoughts or the wisdom thoughts, these are the thoughts that remind us of this. And my experience has been there's all different levels of these right-minded thoughts. if I believe in the world as reality, 99.5%, but I am willing to see that I am wrong. The wisdom thoughts that come in to be helpful may be very, very simple. Like something like I'm starting to get upset because I've been on the phone for 2 hours, and a wisdom thought may just come in, breathe, relax, rest, you know. These types of wisdom thoughts were the very first types of wisdom thoughts that I experienced. But as we listen to these types of thoughts, where we start breathing, relaxing, resting, trusting is another one that comes in. What then begins to happen is we begin to experience more and more wisdom. If you believe the little bit of wisdom that comes, what you get is more wisdom. And when you believe it, you get even more wisdom, right? Every time you accept wisdom as truth or as pointing towards truth, you get more wisdom. So pretty soon, we start really having a lot of enlightened wisdom, where we start having an understanding of how the world is made. We start having an understanding of how all of this changing is happening. And yet at the same time, we have an understanding that isn't just intellectual. It's a soulful understanding of how the changeless is what's real. And pretty soon we're able to naturally relax and naturally be with whatever is. And the way we get to that enlightened direct experience is by listening to the bridge thoughts, the wisdom thoughts that come to reach us where we are at and help us there. So what NTI is encouraging here, even though ultimately NTI 1 Corinthians is about becoming the empty shell, what it's really encouraging here is that we detach from our belief that the world is reality by listening to and trusting these thoughts that point away from that. The next paragraph says, you are asked to realize that both systems of thought are in your mind now, and you are asked to remember that you want to know the truth. Therefore, lay down the thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion. They are not useful to your purpose. They are not helpful to you now. So the thoughts, it's, you know, like if you're on the phone on hold for 2 hours, the thoughts that might come saying, this is a waste of my time, lay that thought down. That's like cutting out the eye that would lead you to sin. You know, if there's a thought, oh no, I'm going to be late in pal talk, they're all going to think I can't even complete the thought. What do you guys think? See, my imagination doesn't work that way, so I can't even complete the thought. What would you think if I was irresponsible? Thank you. Thank you. They're going to think I'm irresponsible because I'm late, right? That is a thought that points away from truth, so you lay that thought down. That's like cutting off the hand that would lead you to sin. So lay down the thoughts that point towards the changing as if it's the truth, and listen to the thoughts that are pointing towards the changeless as the truth. I'm going to move on to verses 6 through 8. Again, it's starting by quoting what's in the Bible. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without the old, as you really are. So in this case, the parable of the yeast that works through the whole batch of dough, in this case, the yeast is being seen as the ego thought system. In this case, the unleavened bread would represent the empty shell. So this is saying that even a little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Yeah, new walnut bread. Which means, I'll tell you what it means by giving you an actual story. This is kind of funny, but it's just the way the ego is. I did not have thoughts like my time was being wasted on the phone. In fact, I was actually kind of enjoying being forced to slow down a little bit by being on hold. You know, I had to slow down a little bit, and I was actually appreciating that and enjoying that because it's been kind of busy this week. And I didn't have thoughts that you guys would think I was irresponsible. I knew you better than that. You know, you guys are my friends. But what did happen was I was talking to Jazz, and while I was on the phone, I don't even remember what I said. I was actually just kind of joking around. And she took me serious. And she said something about, I don't remember exactly, something that, you know, something to the tone of that I was impatient, losing my patience, that I was upset, you know, which I can understand her thinking that because that's probably what she would have thought. So you know how this projection thing works. But what I saw in my mind when she said to me that I was getting impatient or getting upset or whatever she said, what I saw in my mind was a desire to defend, a desire to prove that that wasn't true. This is that ego desire wanting to rise up. I'm sitting here being enlightened, being at peace, and I want you to see me as enlightened and as at peace. So that's the ego thought that did show up in my mind during this two-hour period. And so what I needed to do with that thought was not follow it up. If Jasmine wants to see me as impatient or upset, then so be it. Then so be it. Because if I try to defend myself and prove to her that I am not upset, I am now falling for a little bit of that yeast. And when you fall for one thought from the ego thought system, you invite more thoughts in that you might also fall for. Right? This says, don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? And I think that's probably what makes this path somewhat challenging, this path of letting go of the ego thought system, is because there are certainly some ego thoughts that we're all very eager to let go of. But then there are other thoughts that are a little trickier, you know, like wanting people to see us a certain way. You know, here I am sitting here at peace. I want you to see me. I'm sitting here at peace. See, that's still an ego thought. And if I buy into that ego thought, I buy into the ego thought system. And pretty soon I'm not going to be sitting here at peace anymore. So watching and paying attention to the degree that we don't believe any ego thoughts, that's what NTI 1 Corinthians is encouraging when it says, don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? You know, you can't just let go of those ego thoughts you don't like and keep the ones that you still think and somehow support you, right? Like having people see me as enlightened, that supports me. No, you can't do that. You have to let go of the whole thing. You have to have no interest in the ego at all. And in fact, the next paragraph says, the bread without yeast is the same as the empty shell. So we could also call that the unleavened bread. The bread without yeast is the same as the empty shell. Be without the yeast of the world. Be without the thoughts that seem to belong to you. Be free of the past and welcome what is truth. It is your truth now as it has always been the truth. And one thing I want to talk about is this sentence number 5 where it says, be without the thoughts that seem to belong to you. Two things that I want to talk about. Let me start with the end of it first. It says, be without the thoughts that seem to belong to you. The reason these thoughts seem to belong to you is because they're about me, right? They're me thoughts. You know, like the thought, I want Jasmine to see me. I'm peaceful and I want Jasmine to know it. Right? Because that's not a very peaceful thought. But but see, that's a me thought. It's a thought that seems to belong to me because it's about me. So what the sentence is saying is, be without the thoughts that seem to belong to you. Be without the me thoughts. But another thing I want to say about this sentence is, this sentence isn't to be taken 100% literally, because it says be without. And it almost sounds like don't have those thoughts. But you aren't really responsible for the thoughts that show up in your mind. As I mentioned, the thoughts that show up in your mind come from the game maker. I can't be without a thought that appears. You know, the thought appeared that I wanted her to know that I was at peace. I wanted her to see me that way. That thought appeared. I can't now be without it because it's here. So be without isn't to be taken literally. Be without, what that really means is, don't take that thought in and love it with your attention. Don't believe that thought. Don't make it yours, right? When the thought comes, see it as an ego thought. Remember what you truly want, which is to be free of the ego thought system. However you word that, awaken, be only love, whatever, but be free of the ego thought system. And be free of it doesn't mean necessarily without it. Be free of it means not attached to it, not believing it, not slave to it. Be free of it, right? Be free of it. You want to be free of the ego thought system. And so because you want to be free of the ego thought system, you do not make yourself a slave of the ego thought system by believing it. So the thought shows up, I want this one to see me as peaceful. First of all, because I am peaceful. Because like I said, that thought itself isn't a peaceful thought. But, you know, I am, and I want them to see it, you know, right? If I want to be free of the ego thought system, I cannot become a slave to that one thought. Because I cannot be a slave to that one thought and be free at the same time. It's impossible. And again, we do have the choice. We do have the choice of how we want to play this game. We don't have a choice about which thoughts show up, but we do have a choice with whether we see those thoughts as having meaning or being just meaningless, unwanted, you know, forget about it, right? Forget about it. So the bread without yeast is the same as the empty shell. Be without the yeast of the world. Be without the thoughts that seem to belong to you. Be free of the past and welcome what is truth. It is your truth now, as it has always been the truth. Your changeless nature is what this is pointing to. Verses 9 to 11. Do not partake of the thoughts that lead you to believe in the world. Do not entertain them as true. Let go of them as soon as they seem to be thought, and you free yourself to welcome thoughts that will seem new. This sentence 3 is very interesting. Let go of them as soon as they seem to be thought. As soon as they seem to be thought. Like I said, we think. We think we're thinking those thoughts, but actually we're receiving them. We're not thinking them, we're receiving them. They seem to be thought, actually they're being received. And so when a thought comes in that we recognize as an ego thought because of who we really are, which is beyond actually both the ego and the Holy Spirit, we're beyond both, because of who we really are, we can just choose not to have interest in that thought. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. What I want is genuine peace. What I want is to only be aware of truth. What I want is absolute unobstructed clarity. And this thought is yeast. And it's going to spread through the whole batch of dough. So even though it's kind of tempting to this personality, you know, this personality would like to be seen as enlightened by her daughter. Actually, that would be a waste of time to try and prove that to Jasmine, but would like to be seen as enlightened by her daughter. You know, it's a tempting little thought, but I have to remember what I want most. Genuine peace. I'd rather have genuine peace than take on this little battle of proving I'm at peace. Which I'm sure you can hear the joke in that, taking on the battle of proving I'm at peace. So do not partake of that thought. Do not partake of that thought that is tempting me. Do not entertain the thought as true. Let go of it as soon as it seems to be thought, as soon as I see it in the mind. And then I free myself to welcome thoughts that will seem new. And what this is referring to, again, is the thoughts that point away from the belief that the world is truth. And the reason they seem new is, of course, because for eons we've been thinking ego thoughts and believing them. So when we start letting go of the ego and we start having realizations and insights that point towards truth, that seems new, even though they're pointing towards a truth that is, you could say, more ancient than the illusion, right? So it's not new, but it seems new because we're so accustomed to the illusory thoughts. Now, this next paragraph is one of my favorite paragraphs in all of NTI. Verses 12 to 13. Do not worry about your brother's thought, for the thought you think he thinks is a thought within your mind. I'll stop there. We'll read the rest of the paragraph in a moment. Do not worry about your brother's thought, for the thought you think he thinks is a thought within your mind. Now, when NTI was written, I noticed that I had lots of these thoughts. I really don't anymore. Sincerely and genuinely don't. But I used to have lots of thoughts, you know, like I would have had thoughts about if I was going to be late into Pal Talk. I would have had thoughts about you guys thinking I was irresponsible or something else. You know, let's see, who can I project that onto? Who's here that's really, really responsible? Anybody want to volunteer? Okay, I'll pick Lisa, because Lisa's on the board of directors of Awakening Together. There we go. She's an authority over me. So Lisa's here. Oh, no. Lisa's going to think I'm irresponsible because I'm 5 minutes late. She's going to think I'm irresponsible. Right? What this is saying is that's not Lisa's thought. That's your thought. You're sitting here thinking that Lisa's thinking that. Notice. You are sitting here thinking that Lisa is thinking, right? So whose thought is this? And this is a really hard one for people to get. People believe what they think other people are thinking. They think they're right. I'm laughing at Kathy. She says, actually, Lisa's on the golf course. I think that's funny. Oh, so she's the irresponsible one. No. Yeah. But, you know, like a friend was telling me last night, you know, she's a volunteer for Awakening Together, and she was telling me how, you know, the first 6 months that she was doing her volunteer work, the whole time she was doing it, all she could think about is how I wasn't going to like it. You know, how I wasn't going to be happy with the way she was doing the job. I think maybe if Cheryl doesn't mind me telling a story on her. Cheryl kind of did the same thing. Cheryl was here at my house cooking for me. And she said the whole time she was cooking, there were thoughts in her mind that, you know, I wasn't going to like it. I loved it. But, you know, that's what this is talking about. When we're thinking about what other people are thinking, who's doing the thinking? Who is saying Lisa's going to think I'm irresponsible? That's my mind, right? That's what NTI wants you to see. That's in my mind, not Lisa's mind. My mind. So let's go back and read the paragraph now. Do not worry about your brother's thought, for the thought you think he thinks is a thought within your mind. Look after your own thoughts, that you may be freed of your belief in the world. To be freed of the burden of belief is to be open to the realization of knowledge. So this is a real sweet ego trick. You know, if you're on the ego side, this is a really sweet ego trick. I don't recognize it as my thought. I don't recognize it. If my mind was saying to me, "Oh, Regina, you're so irresponsible. You should just hang up the phone right now and go directly into pile talk. That's your responsibility." You know, I might be alert enough to see that self-judgment. So, oh, that's just the ego. You know, breathe, rest, accept, and trust. Because that's, you know, me judging me. I might be alert enough to see that self-judgment. So what the ego does is it kind of cloaks it a little bit. It hides it by, instead of being Regina, telling Regina how irresponsible she is, in Regina's mind, it's now, "Oh, Lisa's going to think I'm so irresponsible. You know, what if she tells Phil and Norma and, you know, Barbara and Hal? You know, what if the whole board starts thinking I'm irresponsible? What if they think I don't care about awakening together anymore?" And see, I'm not noticing it as self-judgment. I'm not noticing it as me judging me, because it's projected into Lisa's mind. So it's just an ego trick so that we don't see it as easily. So when we are thinking that somebody else is thinking something about us, we need to notice that we're the ones thinking that about us. That is just cloaked self-judgment. And we need to be willing to lay down those thoughts. Remember what Jesus said, if your hand leads you to sin, cut off your hand. If your eye leads you to sin, cut out your eye, right? But this thought about what Lisa's thinking, or this thought about what Regina's thinking, needs to be cut out and thrown into the fire. Because all it is that little bit of yeast that's going to work through the entire bit of dough. And, you know, again, one of the thoughts that people suffer with the most is the "I am bad" thought. The thought that I am less than others, that I am guilty, that I am useless, that I am irresponsible, that I am stupid, that I am fat and ugly, that I am, you know, what other flavors are there of that thought? I just call it the "I am bad" thought. That is the thought that people suffer with the most. And what we need to see is that we actually build that thought, because it's not a natural thought. It has to be built. We have to work hard at keeping that thought. And we actually build that thought through thoughts like, "Lisa's going to think I'm irresponsible. Regina's not going to like this," etc., etc., etc. This is how we're building our own "I am bad" belief and then suffering. And that is a sin. That's a great sin. Not a sin that you're guilty for, but a mistake that points completely away from truth. So that's NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at this. Even though I was 5 minutes late or so, I'm done 5 minutes early. I have plenty of time to talk on the phone about doctors. So why don't we listen to another song, shall we? Shall we listen to another song? Let me see. This song's a good one. This is Bonnie Tyler, "Total Eclipse of the Heart." And let me tell you what I hear in this song before I play it. She's listening to the ego thoughts in her mind, and it's the Holy Spirit thoughts behind her saying, "Turn around." Right? Turn around. It's asking her to let go of those thoughts and turn around and accept the thoughts of peace, accept the thoughts that point to truth. That's what I hear in this song. So here's Bonnie Tyler, "Total Eclipse of the Heart."
every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my dear. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous at the best of all the years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Down a little bit early. Yeah, that is a great song, isn't it? For those of you who are interested in the new group that I'm starting, the Consistent Gentle Healing Group, remember that starts this coming Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here in the sanctuary. Okay? So I'll see some of you then. Of course, I'll be back tonight as well. I think I'm here tonight with Jay for the Michael Langford group. And now I'm going to take that shower that I didn't get to take while I was on hold. Bye.